What is going on, my real estate investing friends? I wanted to jump in here and tell you thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I seriously hope that it brings you an insane amount of value in order for you to be able to crush it in your marketing for your active real estate investing business. This show is specifically here to educate real estate investors on amping up their marketing. So more than likely, if you're listening to this show, you are either already an active investor or you're wanting to jump in, you're doing a little bit of educating for yourself. So if you're either of those and you enjoy this show, you're gonna wanna subscribe to the REI Marketing Weekly Email Newsletter. Yes, I know that's a mouthful, but it is totally worth it because that's where this show kind of derived from. And in that newsletter, it's 100% value content and it's got four segments in each newsletter that goes out every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time about crushing it in your real estate investing business marketing. We have segments where I myself give a marketing tip. We have a segment for a marketing update or a how-to. So if there's something that's new on like Facebook or a new algorithm for Google or something like that, we talk about that, or there's a new platform that comes out. We also do a lot of how-tos. And then we have a segment specifically for somebody that is in an active real estate investing business, crushing it in some form of their marketing efforts. And that's where this show comes in. So we're literally stripping the audio from that interview and putting it into this show. So there's that segment on the email newsletter. And then there's a segment specifically for a tool or a resource that you're able to use in your marketing. So in order to get to this, go to colormedia.com/subscribe, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. So colormedia.com/subscribe. Make sure that you do that. Do not miss out on it because it's a great newsletter, 100% value. There's no selling in there. And you guys are going to learn so much from that. It's just an extension of this podcast and for you guys to be able to go deeper into your marketing and get all these little tips here and there that are going to help you stand out in your market. So again, thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure that you share it around with your friends. I seriously appreciate it. If you do, leave a review if you're able to, and then I hope you enjoy. Let's get started with today's Who's Crushing It segment. Let's go. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And I am excited to have a special guest on the show that we've been trying to connect for the last few weeks, but we finally made it happen. Brett Iwanowitz, and I got it right, right?
And you got my name right, yeah.
Yes, awesome. Well, very cool. That's a challenge that I always like try to make happen because I've had some pretty strange names that have been on the show and, you know, pronouncing it sometimes can be a challenge, but we make it happen. You know, that's what we do on the show.
That's right. Do I make top five of weirdest last names?
Yeah, at least the top five, right. I would say. So cool. So Brett is actually out of Rochester. Is it Rochester or Rochester?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
And Brett was actually introduced to me from a mutual friend of ours. And today we're going to be having him talk about the SEO strategies that he does. Now, he does work with Carrot and Adrian Nez. You guys have heard him on the show, and I talk about him a lot, good friend of mine. But he also does text messaging. And so we're going to try to hit on SEO first and then see where that conversation goes. But before we get into it, Brett, I do want you to go ahead and introduce yourself real quick. Spend about a minute and a half introducing yourself, who you are, what you do, a little bit about the origin story of how you become where you are today.
My origin story would need like a ton of these combined together. So yeah, so I'm a real estate investor out of Rochester, New York, which is upstate New York. If you don't know where that is, we're about 6 hours from New York City. I am full-time wholesaler right now. And I also have a coaching platform called Flip for Freedom, where I teach people how to find, fund, fix, and flip properties right here in Rochester, New York.
Awesome. Very, very cool. So how did you give a little bit of the background, how you got into real estate, just to like kind of the quick pitch on how you actually found real estate?
Sure. Yeah. So I was interested in real estate when I took a break from college. I actually learned to trade painting. So I actually got really good at painting. People, I know a lot of people hate it, but I made some really good money doing it throughout college. And I was painting these homes in this very prestigious neighborhood that actually has a golf course running through it called Cobblestone Creek. If you guys are familiar with it, it's in Victor, New York. And like, I was just amazed at these properties. Never seen any properties like that before in my life. And I'm like, well, how do people afford that? And so that really just, it planted a seed, like it kind of led to me to real estate investing, but it just gave me a desire to learn more about real estate. And then I just got plugged in some networks. I had a, I guess you could say, a partner relationship for about 7 years in the property management industry. And then I got fizzled out. That didn't work out. And then I meandered my way into personal development. And that's really how I got serious and kind of removed a lot of limiting beliefs and plugged myself into some networks with some amazing people. And here we are today.
Sure. That's awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah. All right. So I'm glad you talked about that, 'cause I definitely want to hit on the backstory of who you are and how you got to where you are. I'm sure like every real estate investor, they always like sharing their story, and then other people like to hear it because then they can create some relevancy there. I'm sure somebody has experienced the same story as well that's listening. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the topic for today. So you had mentioned to me before we jumped on the show here that you do a lot of SEO. You're also doing text messaging, marketing. And so we're going to hit on the SEO first and maybe make our way over to the text messaging. But first thing, so SEO, what are you doing? What kind of results is that generating? Why are you doing SEO? So let's go ahead and talk about a little bit of the strategies that you're working on right now with that.
For sure. So I think you would agree that SEO is kind of a longer term play.
Yeah.
So when I decided to start investing in SEO, I'm like, we're not going to see results for maybe 6 to 7 months out. Now we'll get there in a second because we're actually seeing some incredible results. But before we decided to take that plunge into SEO, you know, there's a couple really cool websites out there, and I'm probably forgetting one of them, but I think one of them is called SEO Rush or something like that. I'll have to get the link, but basically you can type in your competitor's URL and basically get a picture of what their business is doing online. How it's performing, their backlinks, their citations, their presence, the domain authority, that's the name of it. So as I was doing some research with my operations manager, we're like, holy moly, there is a huge opportunity here to just demolish my competitors by focusing on SEO. And prior to doing that research, through my mastermind Ascend, I was able to get in contact with Adrian Nez from Chief Marketing. We connected, he made his business plan, and I'm like, you know what? This just makes sense. We're going to commit to this for the next 6 months. Really, really committed to the year. I think anything that I do, if I'm going to invest in a marketing strategy, I'm going to at least budget out for 12 months, just, you know, because there's some testing along the way for certain things. So any advice out there, getting any of you guys want to get started investing in something, I at least try to give something 12 months, because the first 3 to 4 months, I'll probably be testing it. Just to make sure I'm targeting the right people and the message is correct. But anyways, so if you're wondering what the performance is on that SEO, I think we're on like week 7 or 8. In September, we had a lead come in every 6 days.
Oh man, that's pretty low.
What? So that, well, for us, that's huge because we're only 6 weeks into doing SEO.
Okay.
I mean, we weren't figuring about getting into, I mean, we didn't think we'd get leads for the next 6 to 7 months out.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
you're expecting to not get anything right off the bat like that. And then actually like that, it kind of backlogs in a way, like yes. You get them down the road. Okay. I see what you're saying.
You're right. So that's low. You're right. That number's low. Obviously we want that number to increase exponentially from every 6 days, but going from a website that was underperforming, that had a very low domain
makes
authority.
Sense. Okay.
Within that 6 week period, we were not expecting a lead to come in every 6 days.
Sure.
And every month that goes by, we're increasing our backlinks and our citations and our domain authority. So right now our website is pretty much outperforming all of our competitors. Now looking out 12 months from now, we should, I don't even think it would take that long, but we should be within top three of SEO organic searches on Google. And we are working on budgeting to do Google PPC. So in combination with Google PPC, I feel like, I mean, I know we're not going to get there on this call, but once we can budget for that, I really feel like that'll give us a huge competitive edge with our competitors to really just stand out with a massive online presence here.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm glad you clarified that, first of all, because I was like, that's low. But then you're like, I forgot that you said 6-7 weeks.
And we just
like,
started,
okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I do actually want to dive into that a little bit. So from PPC standpoint, how are you going to look to migrate those two in order to create like ultimate domain authority? get your rankings up higher, but then also get those leads coming in more efficiently, more consistently, and more quality leads? Like, what are you looking to do? Or is that something where you're looking to merge your SEO and your PPC together to create that kind of bond that gives the authority? Or are you treating them as two kind of completely separate marketing channels?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I really don't have a clear picture of what that looks like yet. We reach out to Adrian. We're kind of like, especially, I mean, I think you're aware of some of the changes that Google's made with the geo-targeting. Mm-hmm. So I really don't have an idea of what that looks like moving forward. And of course, you know, just to give you some context, you know, I've had a coaches for past 2.5-3 years, it wasn't until about, I don't know, 8 months ago, and I've had other multiple business partnerships where like I really had to hone in on what I wanted to do. So my wholesaling business is really, I guess you could say bootstrap from the ground up, probably 8 or 9 months ago. You know, I'd flip, I'd wholesale, but I really didn't have a solid business model to be efficient. Everything's automated and efficient. I brought someone in that I partner with that's managing all our data. So like we really get the best data. So I just wanted to provide some context there too. If you wanted to tap into that later.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But here in my market, you know, I want to be competitive. Like we're really small. I think we're right around 200,000 people in Rochester. And it is one of the top locations for out-of-state area investors to come in. And the market is hot here. It hasn't cooled down. It's continuing to remain hot. And I think it's like that all over the country. But for the population we have here with the amount of competition, it's pretty rough. So that combination of getting on, you know, the Google ads, you see the PPC, my ad will pop up first, and then I'm within 1 to 3 of the organic SEO. So that 1-2 punch for us, we feel like, plus just with the networking and content I put out there, the authority with the BBB, all the videos I do, my podcast, and just networking locally, it creates a pretty cool presence here.
Yeah, for sure. So quick question on the podcast. Is that something where you find that you're actually getting, is that generating any kind of leads, whether it's like wholesalers are actually bringing you deals? Like, do you see any results from that on the marketing side outside of like being an influencer itself? Does that have any benefits to actually feeding deals to you?
Yeah. Great question. That podcast is fresh off the press. I literally just released my first episode a couple of weeks ago, but really that podcast was a desire to live out my vision, which is cultivating relationships. So relationships within my mastermind, Ascend, yes. A relationship like I love to get you on the show at some point, but just adding value and getting to know my friends a little bit more. I know we're super busy and it's hard to connect. So what better way to connect than get on a podcast together, get to know each other, and then add value to our listeners. To answer your questions about generating leads, I think over time, yes, the idea with that podcast is to build content around my coaching. I did write an ebook. It's called How to Purchase Properties at Steep Discounts. So that's, you know, we can work with anyone getting started and help them with that ebook, and they can be a part of our affiliate program where we can help them do more deals either on the acquisitions or the dispositions. So once I put more content, it's just getting that information out in front of people so they can, you know, see how I can help them and potentially just cultivating those over time. I have a free Facebook group where I'm willing to help mentor people through deals, whatever they're working on. So I just need to get in front of more people, and that's one way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to circle back around to the SEO and kind of put a ribbon on that one, because then I do want to talk about the text messaging. So when it comes down to the SEO, like what are some other things that you're doing in order to actually build that back-end credibility? Are you doing, you know, blog posts? Are you doing just like keyword optimization? Are you putting specific content on your website? What are some things that's actually feeding the result to actually get you to rank?
Yeah, great question. So I am not the SEO expert here, but yeah, there's keywords, there's you know, running the backlinks, different citations, so connecting different websites, sharing information among those, and just get really dialing in those keywords. We're adding those things every month, and that's increasing the domain authority here. We are posting a blog content on our website and on our Facebook page. And then I trickle in content along the way. I guess a competitive edge I have here is like, I like to be creative. Okay. So I like to make videos. I edit my own podcasts. I like photography, and I just like to be creative with those things. So
yeah,
I'll make videos and just post them on the page. It could be inspirational. It could be about buying your home. It could be about helping you do your next deal. So I share that amongst platforms, and I'll trickle that in with everything that Adrian's doing with our SEO, just to help create not only credibility, but like build rapport with prospects that are considering selling their homes.
Yeah, for sure. So are you finding is SEO and your website bringing the most leads in right now for you?
Yeah, right now, I'd say from September. Considering, so we were doing direct mail, and I know we don't have too much time, but getting that dialed in, like I just got connected with Ryan Dossie and Justin, Justin Dossie from Baltimore Marketing, and Justin's been incredible to get on some calls with us and just add tremendous amount of value. I've been kind of trying to get connected with Ryan too, but direct mail was really hard here for us because we were only having a 0.18% return on that direct mail. And we tested some markets and it wasn't our data. So as trying to be a lead generating machine here and getting deals closed, it's still taking over 50 days on cash deals at times. So it's most of the sellers that we're dealing with have multiple pain points. So there's title issues. So keeping that lean marketing budget has been difficult while trying to close on all these deals that we have on the pipeline. Yeah. So we had to scrap the direct mail, but I'll just shout out to Baltimore Marketing because those guys are awesome. And if you're looking to do direct mail, we are probably going to test their marketing in the future. They have between a 1-4% response on their direct mail. So we went from a 0.18 and they say 1-4%. So anyone's looking to do direct mail, maybe connect with them, anyone getting started, because if you have a limited budget, you want to know that budget is going to work and at least bring some leads in that you're going to be able to close on.
Sure. Sure thing. So let's go ahead and migrate into the texting on what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk about this. I do have quite a few people that have jumped on the show and talked about texting, but it's always interesting to hear what different people are doing in different markets. Cause I've yet to get anybody that's like in your market specifically that's doing text messaging. So from that standpoint, what are you guys doing in terms of like, how many texts are you sending? What kind of responses are you getting? What messaging are you putting in the actual text? I know you have to initiate the conversation. Just give a little bit of a rundown of what you're doing with that.
For sure. So texting kind of blew me away. So we're using Launch Control. And one thing that we can do with Launch Control is with direct mail, we had a certain amount of people we could reach every month. With Launch Control, we have a budget, but every month we can increase the amount of people we touch. So we can just add more and more people every month. So every month, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but let's say our first month, we're reaching 2,500 people. The next month, depending on, I can't remember exactly how their system works, but once you know you have a person's number, you basically mark them off. You can just add more and more people onto that list every month. So we can build that list even bigger. We can reach more people. It's pretty inexpensive compared to direct mail marketing. We're getting 98% of our texts are being received, and we're about a 25% response rate on those text messages, which was like, those numbers were blowing me away.
Yeah. So what are you doing in order to get those responses? Do you have like a specific strategy that you think is working to get that high of a response rate?
Yeah. So I don't know if this is I'll just tell you what we're doing. So we have two drops every day. We do in your market, maybe completely different, but let's just say if you're blasting out to 7,000 or 8,000 people, I mean, you don't want to do that in one session. So we split that out over the month, of course, but we have two drops and I think we're doing about 250 people a drop. So we do one at 10 and then we do one at 1 PM. And that seems to be a good response for us. We tried between 8 and 9. We weren't getting a good response rate. We bumped it up to 10. We seemed to get a better response rate there. So depending on your market, you're obviously going to have to test that to see what times work best for you and the response rate that you're getting. The initial follow-up, I mean, I like the soft sell approach. So I'm all about building rapport. So, instead of, would you like a cash offer for your home? And I don't even think you can use that text language anymore. It's an as is offer. So we say, would you consider it? That's a word that's a lot softer on the palate. People say, well, I can think about it. And that's given us a higher response rate that if it's a yes, we immediately call them and go through our script of gathering information on the condition of the property. If it's I'll take 160, no less, you know, we'll still go through that same process and say, hey, I don't know if I can get you that 160. The only way for me to figure out if we can do that and put our best foot forward, if we actually can get on a 5 to 10 minute call, we're just going to ask you some questions about the condition of the home. If you see enough value to move forward, you know, I like to lay out the process of John Martinez approach, timeline, agenda, and outcome. Yeah. You know, we'll come out to the property. It's going to take about 45 minutes. We'll do a quick walkthrough. We'll ask you some questions about your situation and basically put together a deal specific for you. And if the timing is right, and if the numbers don't work, you know, that's okay. We don't do every deal. So I always like to lay that out in every conversation, in a text message, in a phone call, on the appointment, because people typically say no out of fear of the unknown and what's going to happen next. So you always want to lay out that whole game plan of what you're doing, the purpose, and then what's going to have to happen after that. So yeah, that's made a big difference for us.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, because I think a lot of people just in marketing, whether it's texting, whether it's ads, whether it's having somebody fill out a landing page, doesn't matter. If somebody doesn't know what the next step is that they're taking after they take action with you, they're more likely not going to do anything, period. But if you're able to tell them, here's what's going to happen next, then you're more likely like going to enforce like taking action with you. So I think that's really smart that you're doing that, because that is going to generate a lot more results with it. So for instance, if you were, let's say you're running a Facebook ad, and you know, you always hear people say, click the link below, and most people don't know why, but if you say, click the link below, and then follow that up with, and that's going to take you to a landing page, where you can say a website, it's going to take you to a website. Yep. You're going to fill out some basic information about the property, and then we're going to get in touch with you within the next 24 hours. That is breaking down a barrier for them, because they have no clue what you're going to do with that information, first of all. And secondly, what is going to happen next once they do give you the information. And if you're able to break through that barrier and allow them to have that, you know, ease of mind because they know what's happening next, then they're going to take action a whole lot. They're a whole lot more likely to take action. So I like that you did bring that up for sure.
Yeah, John Martinez, he talks about in one of his lessons, just consider like, all right, so Josh, I just saw you bought a Jeep for your wife. Congratulations, that was awesome, right? I saw that. But like, you want to go out and buy another car. You know, most people go to the car lot, they start looking around. And what do people typically say when a salesperson walks up to them? They're there to buy a car, but what do they usually say?
I'm just browsing.
You know, sellers are misleading only because they don't know what happens next, and because they know what the traditional sales process looks like. So they're afraid because of the perceived fear or the expectations of what that relationship is going to look like. So if you can lay that out in advance, they're more, you know, they're going to give you a yes.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I need help.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. I like that analogy too. And John has laid that out like really well. I think he's actually talked about this on a podcast, one of our first episodes we ever had. So that was really good. But hey, Brett, we're going to have to wrap this up, man. I appreciate everything that you've shared so far. It's been great though. I definitely want to give you the opportunity to, you know, you got your new podcast, so we're going to have people listen to that and then learn how to connect with you. So if you could do me a favor and just let people know what the podcast name is, where they can find it, and then also how they could connect with you if they want more information or if they want to connect with you personally.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that, Josh. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Flip4Freedom. The podcast, it's pretty basic. It's just a Flip for Freedom show. And I had a friend ask me the other day, well, why would people listen to your podcast? I guess I don't know if I have the exact answer for that. But I know we're all uniquely created differently, and we all add value in different ways. Yep. So, you know, nothing, Josh, no one can do the same things you do, and no one can do the same things I do. Mm-hmm. So I love drawing out of people their stories, you know, where they came from, the obstacles, where their life is now. And then I like to trickle in some practical value along the way that people could take and implement in their business today. So that's the kind of story behind that show.
For sure. Sounds good. And we're going to have all that linked below in the description, guys. So make sure you do check that out and show Brett some love. Go follow him on Instagram, connect with him on Facebook, and then also make sure you listen to his podcast. Brett, I appreciate you being on the show today, man. Thanks so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule for connecting. And we look forward to having you back again soon.
I appreciate it, Josh. Take care, man.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode. We appreciate you jumping on and joining us. Make sure you are subscribed to the show if you're not already. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, head back over. Now is the time to head back over to the homepage of the show. Leave a 5-star review with your feedback. I'd much appreciate that. Reach out to me if you have any questions or if there's anything you'd like to connect with. josh@colormedia.com, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. And it is official. The REI marketing book is now available for pre-order. Once the show goes out, it's probably going to be available for actual shipping, but you can get that at reimarketingbook.com. It's just a massive collaboration with 50 of the top investors in the country, talking about their stories on what marketing they're doing in their business. And you can get that. It's dirt cheap. All you're paying for is the shipping, really. That's all it is. It's $4.97 or something like that. So great book. It's about 150 pages and you're going to get a lot of nuggets in there. So make sure you do check that out. Again, that's reimarketingbook.com. Thank you so much for joining in today and we'll catch you guys on the next one. See you later.
Adios.